Hello, I'm Grant Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Today we're going to talk about brass for gold. We're going to go back into the Old Testament. I know when we get in the Old Testament, everybody starts wondering where they think of Moses in the lion's den, and they can't quite remember everything, and they so-and-so begat so-and-so. But we'll keep it real clear today. But I want one basic point, and it's one of the easiest things you can ever hear, but it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, which is be you. Don't be a second-rate version of somebody else. Be you. God will never anoint what you aren't. No matter how you try to put up an image that isn't uniquely yours, his anointing rests only upon you doing you 100%. If you will be yourself 100%, God will be himself 100% through you. And your anointing or the gift he's given you and the combination of gifts he's given you, he will only put his anointing on what is authentic. Unfortunately, we often have second-rate versions of ourselves that we try to present to other people. And today we're going to find out that this is not a season to exchange gold for brass. Well, what am I talking about? Lamentations 4, verse 1 says, "How has the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed?" Now, you know I've been talking about gold recently. I'm on a gold kick. We talked about the gold of Ophir. We talked about the fact that gold is not afraid of fire, and silver is not afraid of fire, but wood, hay, and stubble are afraid of fire. And we found out all through the Bible, whenever you see God moving in a situation, he's always moving in tandem with fire. He always, when you see gold, you think of fire. Gold is valuable as it is, but when you purify it, it's better. So gold says, come on, fire. Gold will dance with fire any day of the week because gold represents the authentic, true, pure, in this case, you. God didn't have one of you. He wanted one of you, so he made one of you. So if you will just be you, that sounds easy, doesn't it?
Well, the preacher just said, just do you.
Okay, it's going to be the do you sermon. That's the easiest thing to hear and lock in. It's the hardest thing for you to do is to go against the grain and to quit trying to be like everyone else and quit allowing anyone to ever define who you are. You go to school, there are roles that try to force themselves on you. You work at your job, there are roles. Go to your family events, Thanksgiving, there's a family role you usually take. I'm an adult, but when I went home to have Thanksgiving, I became 6 years old in my mother's presence. You're forced into a mold. Come on, we spend our entire lives trying to shake all the false images off and be ourselves. Easy sounding, it's difficult to do. So gold in the Bible always speaks of authenticity. It always speaks of the reflection of God's goodness. It always, you know, images of purification, but it's the real deal. And honey, you're the real deal. You don't ever have to act like you're somebody else. Well, he's more handsome than I am, and she's prettier than I am, and I wish I had their car, and I wish I had their clothes, and I wish, or woulda, coulda, shoulda. Just do you. Let me read you a very interesting text. Do you remember the kings of Israel? The first king of Israel was Saul, reigned for 40 years. Then lovely King David reigned for 40 years. Then Solomon reigned for 40 years. And guess what? After Solomon died, he had a pain in the neck son named Rehoboam that came up to follow him. Let me just read for just a minute, because you have to understand how wealthy Solomon was. Did you know Solomon reigned between 970 and 931 BC, and he had a net worth, listen, $2.1 trillion. He's the richest man that ever lived. You think Zuckerberg's rich. He's only got $13 billion. Solomon had $2.1 trillion. The scriptures say, listen to this now. Can you imagine? The scripture says that every year, 1 Kings 10:16-17, every year for 40 years, he had 25 tons of gold brought in every year. One ton of gold is $64.3 million. That's one ton. He took in 25 tons a year for 40 years. Dun, 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 dun. Get the calculators out. Da, 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 da. That's a lot of money. Can you imagine? And you think the Kardashians are wealthy. 25 tons of gold a year. So the Bible says he was so rich that they made silver as dust. They threw it out so they'd have room for the gold. Can you imagine being so rich that silver is piled up in your dumpster? Solid silver, no value. Now, we could take that today and invest it for the ministry, but it was worthless. It was just like the dust of the earth in Solomon's reign. But I want you to notice something. This is a weird biblical principle, but just hear me out for a minute. David was king, then Solomon was king, then Rehoboam was king, Solomon's son. Did you know that it's usually in the third generation that things begin to decay? David knew God and was on fire for God, right? Solomon came to the throne, was the richest man that ever lived. Oops, but he had a little problem. Girls. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's a lot of pantyhose. That's a lot of mothers-in-law. He intermarried. God said, the first thing God said about kings in the Bible was never multiply wives, never multiply gold, and never multiply horses. First thing he did, he multiplied wives, gold, and horses. Whoops. He's sowing to the wind. He's going to reap the whirlwind. Solomon was smart. So there's David, there's Solomon, and then there's Rehoboam. So it's funny, in the book of Joshua, everyone that lived in Joshua's time followed the Lord. Everyone that walked in the people, next generation, he had taught, walked with the Lord. Third generation threw off their restraints and became idol worshipers. In the third generation, you're tempted because you inherit stuff from the grandfather and the father. So Rehoboam is Solomon's grandson. I just want you to see that. He inherits this gold he didn't earn. Boy, there's something about daddy working hard and earning gold, and a child doesn't appreciate it, just inherits it. Right? You have to work for it, you have to sweat for it, and you don't seem to put the right value on things when you're a third generation. I don't want to start there. Remember the old Gotti show? Remember the show with all the Gotti kids, all the spoiled, rotten kids, right? You had the mob boss, then you had mama, then you got them, and they just all went nuts, right? So there's something about a third generation. Rehoboam is the third generation. David was his grandfather. I'm just saying, loved ones, this is a word of encouragement. The generation in our time has to be just extra sensitive to the fact that this is about the time before God moves that people make decisions to replace gold with bronze. Counterfeits. You got to watch out for counterfeits. Counterfeit friendships. Counterfeit relationships. Counterfeit ministry partners. Do you know why the women of Moab were just such a snare to the children, the men of Israel? Because they lived right on the border between Israel and Moab. They were close, but they were an imitation. They were a counterfeit. They looked just like the real thing to a degree until you got involved with them. Ever had a counterfeit friend? Now, you know what counterfeit bills are. You give you a $100 bill. Well, if you have a value established as $100, some fool somewhere is going to try to get paper and counterfeit that. So recently in Moore Park, we've had a flurry of counterfeit $100 bills. They will not take $100 bills. Not like they come out of my pocket. But you know, you see people go to the restaurant, they will not take a $100 bill because there's been a glut of counterfeits. But if you work at the bank, they teach you to recognize the counterfeit by having you handle the real. When you're around real friends, there's no problem at all spotting a counterfeit. When you're around a truly genuine, loving person who loves you for you, and then you meet some selfish person that wants to use you, that's like putting a straight pool cue against a crooked pool cue against the wall. You see it every time. I've never had to tell a child, now that one's crooked and that one's straight. You know that. You know, if I put a straight line in the board and a crooked line in the board, how is it that you know just at a glance, if you're 5 years old, you pick out the crooked one? One is the original, one is a copy. Dennis told a story when he was in the highway patrol that they did a seminar on registrations in cars. And they put the fake picture of the fake one up and the real one. And at first of the seminar, they couldn't tell the difference. By the end of the day, they could pick out the counterfeit fake. Because they told you what to look for. Here's what a $100 bill looks like. Feel it. It's got a little thing inside. It's got, look at how the ink is. And if you handle the real, see, you're at the bank and they have you counting, handling money, 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 money. Then they slip a counterfeit $100 in. And it just doesn't feel right. You ever been around someone that you know down in your knower? Listen to that. Listen to that inside that goes, I don't think you should tell them that. I don't think. Arwen and I were talking about the other day about how that little voice inside says, don't take that sticker off the wall at school. It's not yours, but you do it anyway. She said, every time I ignore that inner voice, I get into trouble. I said, my God, she's 11. I've been talking to 50-year-olds all week that don't know why. Every time I go against that voice, my life falls apart. See, God has built it inside, loved one, for you to understand the straight pool cue from the crooked one, the gold from the bronze. Well, let me get to my story. And I'll read to you. 1 Kings 10, 16, and 17. Listen. And King Solomon made 200 shields of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. I want you to listen to this. Solomon takes the gold. And he makes 200 large shields. 7.5 pounds of gold in each shield. Then he made 300 like bucklers, little small ones, and they had about 3.5 pounds of gold. The total value is $75 million. If you went to his palace, you would walk in, and there were 500 gold shields. Can you imagine? Solomon saw himself wherever he went. A true reflection of himself. These symbols, do you know where the gold came from? When you would conquer enemies, you would take the spoils and you would melt them down. Napoleon used to melt down all the cannons to make statues of himself when he made. Your Majesty, we took 1,000 cannon today. He goes, start melting and start putting statues of me up everywhere. So when Israel had won a battle, they won all the money, and they would take it and melt it all down, and so they would make it into something that honored God as a symbol of victory. Solomon had 500 shields. Wow. $75 million. You know what that represents? The real deal. Gold is the real deal. When you are yourself, unashamedly, you're the gold shield. See, if God wanted you to be like someone else, he would have made you them. But there's a reason why your fingerprint is like no one else. There's a reason why your eyes are the color that they are. There's a reason why all the things you think are flaws are uniquely mixed and combined in you, because you are an original. You're born an original. Don't die a copy. It's better to be authentically you, not a second-rate version of someone else. I tell my kids, be you, do you. It's easy to hear the do you message. Okay, I get it. No, you don't. Because you go out and you still try to, you're under pressure to dress like other people and listen to the same music that other people do and act like you like it. Yeah, I really like that. Be authentic. I love Cole Porter music. You ought to see the stuff I dance around the house with Michael. It's weird. It's odd. It's amazing. When I was a little boy singing in nightclubs, I loved Cole Porter. Guys from the 1920s. It's just so, but some people listen to it and go, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Good for them. Don't let someone tell you what you like. Don't let someone tell you what your taste is. Don't let someone tell you what kind of shoes to wear. Be you. Be Cyndi Lauper. Be absolutely, absolutely yourself. When I was a boy, we had a girl named Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi, her hair was every kind of different color. She wore every kind of different outfit. And she was that way, really. She didn't just do that to become a star. She was utterly herself. But there's a penalty to be paid because this world criticizes anyone who is unerringly themselves. Don't be part of the herd. Don't be part of the cookie cutter. You know, all the cookies have to look alike because we use the same cookie cutter. Break the cookie cutter. Make a big oblong football size cookie. You see what I mean? Be you. So Solomon has these 500 gold shields. Now, gold represents the real thing. So in our analogy today, it's you being you. But Solomon had a pain in the neck son who was an absolute loser named Rehoboam. 2 Chronicles 12, did you know a good person can have a weird kid? Have you ever noticed that? Bad people can have a beautiful kid, and good people can have a kid that just goes nuts. Usually we go nuts when we are under pressure to be something other than who God made us to be. That's why I wore I forgot my shoes today. These are my slippers. I forgot my good shoes at home, my good shoes. But you know what? I don't care. I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm going to preach barefoot the rest of the sermon. Amen. And someone said, but Craig, if you just dress up a bit and you do this and you do that. And you know what I did one time? I went to a conference and I bought a suit and it was horribly uncomfortable. And I tried to fit in with these other people. And I just don't. A tie to me is like being hung or crucified. You know what I mean? And I'm walking in, and it was so odd because it's so unlike me to do that. And I didn't fit in, by the way. Newsflash. And I went home and I ripped that suit off. Threw it out. It was only from the 3-day suit thing, so it was only about $180. But you know what I'm saying? I don't care. There was so much pressure to conform and to be like other preachers and to talk a certain way. Well, good morning. How's it going? You know, and I'm like thinking, oh. And even in worship, people in worship are jumping up and down. I can't, I'm 58. I can't jump up and down for 2 hours. Amen. Nor could they. All the poor older worship people that are still trying to hold on to the team are like jumping like this. I'm thinking, oh my God, we're going to be calling 911 in a minute. You understand? That's not me. I'm not judging anyone. Jump all day long. But I can't do that. It's not me. See, I want to be the gold standard of myself. I want to be me. Because the anointing of God is only going to be on Craig when Craig is utterly Craig. If Craig tries to be someone else, whoop, the anointing shuts off. Isn't that the weirdest thing? When you stop being you and you try to be like someone else, the oil quits running, the blessing, the flow, the happiness, the joy. When you start getting really depressed, sometimes look at where you quit being you. If you take baggage on and you let other people impose baggage on you, I don't know what it is about people, but they just want to take your uniqueness and make you just like them. And if you're a little out of order, in their view, there's something wrong with you. Isn't it funny? See how counterintuitive that is? You finally choose, I'm going to be myself. Pastor Craig was right. I'm a gold shield, not a bronze shield. You just wait and see the pressure that'll get up on you to be like the mob. Who wants to be like the mob? They're dull. They're boring. Okay. So remember, 500 shields of gold, pure gold. $75 million worth of shields. And listen to what the dodo does, Rehoboam. 2 Chronicles 12:9. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Oh, $75 million worth of gold. Ah, but wait, our non-hero Rehoboam steps in. Verse 10 says, instead of which, Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard and kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. Oh, 500 shields of gold. Remember when the children of Israel left Egypt, they plundered the Egyptians and took their money? When Rehoboam wouldn't walk with God, he allowed the Egyptians to come in and plunder all of Solomon's gold. But instead of Rehoboam like fighting back in the name of the Lord, or like saying, we got to do something here, we got to replace this gold, he just said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just make a cheap secondhand knockoff substitute. Bronze. Did you know bronze cost $2 a pound? $75 million worth of shields were replaced by $5,000 worth of bronze. The only reason bronze exists is because it involves mixture. Bronze, you can polish it all day. It doesn't gleam like gold. Maybe at a distance with bad vision. And the Bible says that Rehoboam had the 500 shields recast in bronze, and then he locked them away so they weren't available to public view because he didn't want them scrutinized. Do you know when you're trying to be a second-rate version of yourself or you're trying to be someone you're not, you don't want people looking too close? Because it's easy to see bronze. Now, can you imagine? Now, Solomon used to, listen, when he used to go to worship at the temple, he had his 500 guards carry all those golden shields with him into worship. My Lord. David had 5,000 horns in his trumpet section. 5,000. And you think the violin was a little loud this morning. 5,000 horn players. That's just the trumpet section. So Solomon has that all going on, and he also has 500 solid shields of gold that are going in with him when he's worshiping. You know, he could see a reflection of who he truly was in that gold. But when Rehoboam replaced the 500 shields with bronze, now we have a problem. And you think the 500 guards that carried these didn't notice the difference? You know, people in leadership know when they've got a counterfeit, an imitation. Do you know when someone is trying to be something they're not, and they're just trying to be all sincere, and they're really a snake, and they gossip about everybody? Loved one, if they gossip about her when you're there, guess what they do when you're not there? When you are gossiping and having someone for dinner, remember, when you go to the bathroom, they're cutting your have you for lunch. Trust the pattern. One of my favorite therapists in the world, Dr. Henry Cloud, he says, you know what? This lady came up to him and she said, you know, John didn't understand me, and then Jimmy just wasn't affectionate, and Bob just had too many issues. And Dr. Cloud says, dear, you don't have a problem. You have a pattern. You see, there's a difference between a problem and a pattern. A problem is, well, my mama did that, and my dad did that, and Jimmy wasn't affectionate, and Lucy just never hugged me, and blah, blah, blah. No, you don't have a problem that you point out and blame someone else. You have a pattern. You have a pattern. Well, and of course they get up and leave. I paid $500 for that counseling. But yeah, you should have listened. You don't have a problem. It isn't your mama. It's you. It's not my brother. It's not my sister, Lord. It's me. I have a big difference. People that always have a problem are blaming everybody. Well, I was raised, and yeah, I know people that survived the death camps of Auschwitz, and they're sweeter than you. I know a 100-year-old woman that was in the German death camps. She got pregnant before she went into the camp, had a baby in the camp. She's in Auschwitz. She's nursing the baby until there was no more milk in her breast, and the baby died in her arms. Then she went into a Russian prison camp. She survived the war. She's 100 now. They just made a documentary of her life. And she told me the most delightful thing. God is a God who loves irony. Her daughter, who's very wealthy, took her around the world 20 years ago to see the actual sites where the death camps were, where her home was. And they went to Stalin's duchy, that little house of Stalin outside of Moscow. And they were alone, and she just went into Stalin, went to the bathroom in Stalin's toilet. I said, yeah, God is a God of irony. That man who butchered 45 million people, and she was almost one of them, she had a little celebratory divine appointment in that. I said, that's the best thing I've heard all year. Take that, devil. Back to the text. Bronze is a cheap substitute for gold. Bronze is an imitation of the real thing. It is fake. It is counterfeit. It is a downgrade. To the untrained eye, bronze might look like gold. But up close, when people get close enough and they think that you're a gold shield and they see your bronze and that, you know what, bronze cannot escape the refining process. You can put gold in fire all day and it just, it's a dance. Gold is delighted and gets better. You put bronze that is made of mixture in the fire, it's gone. It's burnt up. Did you ever? You ever have friendships you thought were gold shields and they're bronze shields? Because as soon as the fire comes, they dissolve. It's like not, you know, well, praise God, the fire only purifies us. Hello? Hello? Loved one, we're living in a time where we cannot be deceived by counterfeits. Counterfeit $50 bills, counterfeit $100 bills, and counterfeit gold shields that have been made out of bronze. Bronze Ministries, hello, welcome to Bronze Ministries International. Wait till the fire hits. They disappear, they're gone. And it's like, what happened? Well, someone traded gold for bronze. Someone decided not to be themselves the authenticity of pure gold. They decided to be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Now, social media is a gift from God, depending on how we use it. I knew the Kardashians' father, Bob Kardashian. Bob, bless his heart, is in heaven, probably rolling around, watching his kid. God bless the Kardashians. Kris Kardashian used to go to our church years ago. Evidently before she was rich. But you know what I mean? I love the Kardashians, but you understand most young women don't have private airplanes and can complain about the mink stole that was only $50,000. You know what I mean? It's entertaining to watch reality, but don't exchange the gold of your personal uniqueness wanting to be like a bronze shield. I'm not saying they're bronze shields. They're lovely girls. Do you know their mother started a church across the street here at that hotel. And so we kept getting folk coming over here looking in all strange. I went, no, this isn't the Kardashians church. It's the one over there. You could throw a stone out and knock Scott Disick out. That's how close they were. And they kept coming over here thinking this is where the Kardashians, I said, no, we're the prayer chamber, the anti-room to, you have to go through us to get to the Kardashian church. Now, you understand, God bless the Kardashians. But you got to watch that you don't compare yourself to men, women, boys, or girls ever because you think, oh, I wish I was them. If God wanted you to be them, he would have made you them. If he wanted you to preach like that one, he would have made you preach like that one. You've got to go with the flow and be you. Be an authentic gold shield. Be an authentic version of you, not a second-rate version of someone else. That's a bronze shield. And I mean, we get so desperate, bronze is even attractive. Well, it's very good looking. You know how often I hear people justify relationships? Well, he's got a little baggage. He's got more baggage than an airport. What do you, you know how you minimize stuff? Well, it isn't that bronze. I mean, you know, it's shiny when you look at it through the bottom of a Coke bottle with myopia. Yeah, sure, he looks great. Don't justify a bronze shield in a relationship, in a friendship, in a ministry choice, in a work situation. We only want gold shields here. Thank you, Jesus. I want those 500 gold shields. And I look at you and I see a gold shield. See, I see a handful of people that whatever you aren't, you're yourself. Whatever you don't have, you're you without it. You're born an original, don't die copy. We have one of them. We need you. I know that's easier said than done. I already told you that's easy to hear and hard to do. But you know what? There's a price. When you choose not to be fake and counterfeited, and you want to be pure and authentic, you don't want to be a cheap imitation, you want to be the real thing, there's going to be pressure. A dead fish swims downstream. It takes a live fish to swim against the grain. You ever seen those salmon? They like spend their whole life trying to get back to where they started. I was amazed. I saw a National Geographic thing on salmon. 30 million salmon running every year, and the bears waiting for them. The bears, they're eating grass until they show the bears eating grass and looking weird at one another, at their own kids. Hello, Davy. No, mommy's fine. You know, it's like, whoa! Whoa, you can get so hungry you'll eat grass. The best seasoning for food is hunger. But if you're hungry, you just might eat
anything.
Yeah. Oh, so let me just tell you one quick story. So you're the gold shield. Don't take a counterfeit. Got that? Okay, good. Well, there's somebody in the Bible, Genesis 27. I'll just tell you his story. His name is Jacob. God will never anoint what you aren't. He will never anoint you trying to be someone else. I'm so sorry. Don't try to be anyone. Learn from everyone. Eat the hay. Spit out the sticks. That's what I tell my daughter, Brooke. Have the sense of an old cow. Eat the hay. Spit out the sticks. That means cows, if you watch them eat, they'll always, the sticks shoot out of their mouth and the hay goes down. They only swallow hay, not sticks. They just have a way of chewing. And the sticks pop out. That sticks represent all the bad stuff, and the hay is the good stuff. I can go and listen to any sermon preached by anybody and eat the hay and spit out the sticks. I told my daughter, Brooke, I said, honey, if you can learn the sense of a cow, you can sit in any lecture, you can listen to any ideology, you can listen to any false cultist talking, and you can glean the hay and spit out the sticks. Christians are not to be so scared that they run with their Bibles into their chicken coops. Oh, I'm terrified of the world. What do you have to be afraid of? You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You should be able to walk anywhere in a mall, and the light that's produced from you pushes the darkness back. Don't be intimidated by this world. They bless their hearts. They're a bunch of bronze shields. Yeah, but Craig, he was a good-looking bronze shield. Okay, all right. All right, counterfeits are attractive or we wouldn't go for them. But at the end of the day, if you be honest with yourself and you say, am I being me in this relationship? Or to fit in, do I have to act like someone else? I had a child who was constantly in friendship with this girl. And the only problem is you had to play her tune and you had to sing and dance according to what she wanted and you had to do everything when she said. And the minute you were yourself and said, you know, I really don't want to play that game, she would just turn on you and dump you. And I had to tell one of my kids, honey, true love never treats person as a means to an end. They always treat you as an end in and of yourself. Amen. True love is someone who loves you because of who you are, not from what they can get from you. This is a horrible sin to confess. When I was raised in Des Moines, Iowa, there was a little girl on the block that had a trampoline. We couldn't stand her, but she had a trampoline. Oh, I'm going to hell on this one right now, except for the blood of Christ. You know what I mean? Everybody kissed up to this girl. She was just, nobody wanted to have anything to do with her, but my God, to get on that trampoline. Woo! We're talking a big old trampoline, but the one where you could fall in and catch your leg and people kept walking on it and you're screaming and dying. That happened to me about 3 times. I never went back. But did you know how selfish we all were? We were treating her as a means to an end. Nobody cared about her. Except she had a trampoline. And then we had a couple on the block. God, let me get it all out in front of the cross here. Then we had Ray and Shirley Anderson on our block, and they had a swimming pool. In Des Moines, Iowa? A swimming pool? That's 500 shields of Solomon's gold is what that is. They weren't old people. So we kids had to manipulate and control and act like we were interested in them to get in the pool. And we had to sit with Ray, and Ray would drink too much and start telling stories, and we would all just like sit going, oh my God, it was expensive to swim in that pool. God have mercy. See how exhausting sin is. It's like, yeah. And then I was in, did I mention I was in the Navy? Yes, you mentioned you were in the Navy. 5 times. Anyway, we had to go through Ray and feign interest as he drank himself to death just to swim in the pool for like, okay. So now you know, you want to love people as an end in and of themselves, not because of the trampoline in the pool. So you can always ask yourself, am I being authentic in this relationship? Am I getting something out of this? All right, enough. I've convicted the universe now. But I want to close, thank God. You know the old story of the preacher's boy was listening to his dad preach, and he turned to his mother and said, Mother, what does in conclusion mean? And she said, absolutely nothing. (Laughter) In conclusion, did I mention the Navy? I'm starting to sound like Ray. I'm telling you, I don't drink, but I sound like Ray. I talked to Brooke for 3 hours last night. When I talk to my daughter, it's on a speakerphone with all of her friends because they think it's amusing to listen to me talk. I didn't know I had so many stories. I got 3 hours in a row with these stories. We're just having a wonderful time. But you know, I keep saying, honey, at any time you can just hang the phone up. I give you permission because I have no idea. Mark Twain said it's a terrible death to be talked to death. So in just a moment, I will give you your opportunity to escape. But in Genesis 27:9, there's a guy named Jacob. And the Bible says he was a mama's boy and he had a brother named Esau. And Esau was a hairy man. They were twins, but Esau was a man's man. So Esau would hunt and do all the manly things. And Jacob was sort of artistic, you know, and he was a mama's boy. He didn't leave his mother's house till he was 67 years old. That's a rough case of mama's boy.
Mama?
Yes?
Mama, can I go outside?
You're 67! I'm not kidding. So anyway, those are all free. He goes to Bethel at 67 and he is not married yet to Rachel. So Rachel's about the same age. Come on, praise God. I love these old man verses. My God, I'm seeing them everywhere now. Never knew the Bible was full of them cover to cover. From Genesis, generations to revolutions. All old men prophecies. Then I read a Spurgeon sermon yesterday. Greatest preacher of his age on an old man's sermon. It was from the Psalms where David said, I was once young, but I'm now old. And I went, yes, Lord. Brooke says, Daddy, you're getting weird. Okay. So Jacob and Esau are twins. They're brothers. And Esau's the firstborn. He was like, you know, 20 minutes older than Jacob coming out of the womb. So he was the firstborn. He was supposed to get the big blessing. And the scripture says, listen to this. Don't we get crazy sometimes when we want our way? So Isaac, his father, is blind, sort of blind, and he goes to Esau. He goes, Esau, honey, I love you. You're a man's man. You know, Jacob, how you doing? Draw another picture. And he says, Esau, go hunting and get the venison I love and prepare it for me, and then I'll bless you, and then I'll die. So he sends Esau out. Well, 10 minutes later, Jacob comes in. And the mother says, listen, she goes, look, while Esau's gone, I'll make the venison, and we're going to put an Esau suit on you. He's old, he's blind, he doesn't know what's going on, so I want you to pretend you're somebody you aren't. Oh. So this fool puts on animal hair, a suit all over his body, and he comes in, and he goes, Father? And then Isaac goes, Esau, is that you? And Jacob lies and says, yes, it is. He goes, funny, you sound like Jacob. Come close, and I could feel you. And he comes close, and he feels the hair on his arms. He goes, well, the voice is that of Jacob, but you feel like Esau. Have you ever put on an Esau suit trying to act like you're something you're not? Don't do it. There's no anointing on it. Jacob is dressed up. It's like you dressing up in a suit of armor, trying to act like you're medieval. You know, it's insane, but he puts an Esau suit on that his mother made for him. Thanks, Mom. He's 67. This is really embarrassing. Does my baby wonder what? Oh, I made my baby an outfit. It's an Esau suit. Now go in and deceive your father and get the blessing. It's like, thanks, Mom. What psycho are we talking about here? There's got to be a MOPS group for her. Someone that can speak. She dresses him up in an Esau suit. He appears to his father, but you know what? There's something wrong. When you try to be, instead of a gold shield, an authentic version of you, you try to be a bronze shield, something that you're not. There's no blessing on it. There's no oil on that shield. And Jacob is trying to be his brother. And everything goes wrong when he does that. I mean, it goes from bad to worse. He deceives his father. He does get the blessing, but he would have had it anyway. But he gets it by trying to act like he's someone else. That's like you dressing up in a Kim Kardashian suit And you have to sort of be at a distance, moving really quick, and people maybe in a moment go, was that Kim Kardashian? It's a, whoever it is, fill in the blank. You want to be like another preacher. You want to be like another singer. You know, Wednesday night when we went and had a wonderful speaking engagement, there was a young girl in worship. What was her name? Anise? Totally herself. She's up there on the keyboards presiding. And I went up to her and I said, honey, I said, the Hillsong folk just woke up in a cold sweat. It's like, you know, God's always got the next thing coming up right behind the thing that's the thing right now. And she started giggling. She's about 20, 21, 22.
I said, the Hillsong folk are trembling.
Because she was such a unique little worship atmosphere person. She just created, didn't even really sing any standard worship songs. She just sort of resonated and filled the atmosphere. And I'm bowing down. Everybody else is talking and exchanging phone numbers, and I'm bowing down because I knew the presence I was in. And and her name Anise means, I think it means fragrance. There was an old Parisian cologne named Anise. So she said, my mama named me fragrant. I said, well, dear, you are fragrant in the worship.
Right.
But she was utterly herself. She didn't care what anybody thought. She wore whatever clothes she wanted. And wow, was she something when she was a gold authentic shield, the first-rate version of her. And I anointed her with oil. I said, you're something else. I said, you even put up with everything that was crazy in this room. And she starts giggling. I said, yeah, you saw it all too. I go, honey, just keep being you. If everybody's nuts in here, be you. Just do you. God will honor you. His anointing will be authentically on the gold shield that you are. Guess what? Don't take the Esau suits off. I just think today we need to just say, Lord, it's exhausting trying to be someone else. There's even in the ministry standards that people expect from you in the ministry. And if you are other than that, they do not respect you. Guess what? Esau suit, if you want the anointing, it's going to be on you. That means you need to find out who you are. Some of you don't even know who you are. You may have done what they said you did, but you're not who they say you are. God names you. God made you. You may need to just take a little ginger in between courses and ask the Lord this week, Lord, who am I? I think I forgot somewhere. I've been trying to be a cog in the machine. I've been trying to minister with a certain kind of voice. I loved Pastor Jack Hayford. My friend said, Pastor Jack Hayford was at this meeting we were at the other day. And I went, oh, well, how wonderful that Pastor Jack decided to show up. And I do a great Jack Hayford impersonation that you are missing right now, but he's such a wonder. Now, the older he's getting, his voice is going up a few notches like this, right? But the first time I went to church on the way, the guy that took the offering said, we're going to bring our offerings before the Lord and manifest the grace of Jesus as we give and sow seed into holy ground. And I thought, Jack Hayford. They said, no, that's the guy that takes the offering. Then the lady in worship got up and said, we're going to go before the Lord. And we're going to wave our hands as a symbol of lightning rods that are prepared to receive the best that he has. And I go, that can't be Jack Hayford. And they went, no, that's the worship lady. And then Jack got up and said, good morning, church. And I said, they said, that's him. And he introduced his wife, Honeycomb Letus Hayford. I thought it was Jack and Honeycomb Letus Hayford. But you know what I'm saying? No, I love Jack. But Church on the Way was virtually clones of Jack. You can still hear the 19-year-olds coming out of the youth group. Remember, and Chuck Smith had a cadence in his voice, and all the Calvary Chapel pastors sounded like Chuck. Remember, the big bald guy who talked real slow. And it's like Greg Laurie still talks like Chuck. Chuck's dead. Chuck's in heaven. God bless him. But see, the reason why every 30 years denominations have to be abandoned is usually because they become clones. Seminaries produce clones. I won't mention the name. I've mentioned everybody else's name, but there's a guy that has a local seminary. Everyone's a clone that goes in and comes out. They talk like him, dress like him, look like him, walk like him, carry a briefcase like him. Now, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but an imitation of who you're called to be is not flattering. It's counterfeit. So could we just bow our heads and close our eyes? Oh, Father, $75 million worth of gold try to be replaced by $5,000 worth of worthless bronze. Lord, forgive us for our being so hungry that we'll eat sand. Forgive us, Lord, for being so hungry that we will take a counterfeit blessing, a bronze shield. Lord, that we'll even dress up like Esau and try to be like the man we look up to or the woman we look up to or the friend we look up to. Lord, forgive us. We want to throw aside the Esau suits. Oh, beloved, just let him wash you, just like a beautiful shower, wash away any feeling that you need to be like someone, another copy of somebody else. No, no, honey, it's easy, but it's hard. Do you. Be you 100%, and the anointing of God will 100% be upon you as never before because you're authentic. Lord, we want to be authentic $100 bills. We don't want to be counterfeits. We want to go ahead. They can check us and mark us with a pen and hold us up to the light, and they'll say, that's a gold shield, like Solomon's gold shield. That's not bronze. Bronze is mixture. Bronze cannot survive the purifying process. But I know you will, because you're going to be you. Father, forgive us for our need to try to act like others. And Lord, for those of us that honestly have forgotten at some point who we are, and you need to reintroduce us to us, we pray for gold shields that we can truly look into, mirrors that would reflect who we are. Solomon could look into those shields as he was walking to worship, and he would go, that's me. That's exactly me. Father, we don't want to look in the fun house mirror at the circus and see all these distorted mirrors of who we are, where we're too tall or too fat or too small or big head, little body, all those fun house mirrors. We break those in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask for a true reflection of who we are before you. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't have one of us and you wanted one of us, so you made one of us. Bless your name. By faith, we praise you. By faith, we praise you. Thank you for making me me, Lord. Thank you that you love me just the way I am. Thank you that there's nobody ever been like me, and there'll never be anybody like me, and there will never be anyone like the one under the sound of my voice hearing me right now. Cry your tears, but they're your tears. Look at your gifts and abilities. They're your gifts and abilities, a gift from God. No more Esau suits. When you're in an environment and you feel pressured to be like the others and you're feeling uncomfortable, just say, excuse me. You can always go to the bathroom, by the way. Whenever you're confused, you can always go to the ladies' room or the men's room and just sit there for a minute and go, Lord, I think I'm starting to move from a gold shield to a bronze shield. I need to stop it right now, Lord. I'm going to be happy to be me. Loved one, you don't have to fit in with people that want you to do certain behaviors so that you're cool. That's just a gold shield turning into a bronze shield. Thank you, Father, right now. You remove all the Esau suits. We don't want to be anybody else. We don't want to look like anybody else. We don't want to act like anybody else. Bless your holy name. And let your Holy Spirit set us all free under the sound of my voice, Lord. Break every bondage. Break every lie of the enemy. Break every yoke of the enemy that says that you don't look right and there's something wrong with you. We rebuke the devil and all of his lies in the name of Jesus. We play to the applause of heaven. We play to the golf clap of the Son of God. That's it. We don't play to what the angels think and cheer about. We don't play to what our friends and authority figures cheer about. We look to you, Jesus, and we want your applause and your approval and your anointing. And somebody somewhere said, amen. Amen. Gold shields.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you, and if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.